Glancing back in the rearview mirror means leaving what's behind. Pressing on to what lays ahead means turning your back on what might have been and leaving it well in the past. And as Paul says in Colossians 3, which we're looking at today, to put off and to put on, to leave behind and to move forward into. I think the key verse in our passage today is the very last verse. And it's the verse that needs to be overarching of all of the rest, in fact, of all of chapter 3. Verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whatever you say, can it be done as though it is for Jesus? Speaking as though Jesus is standing right next to you. Jesus is with us constantly, but we tend to forget that. And we'd possibly not do or say the things that we do if we made a mental note consistently that Jesus is right here with me. We may not do or say the things that we do if we were very aware Jesus is right here. So let's try and keep this verse in our thinking as we approach this passage that's before us this morning. And of course, Paul's words follow on from his previous thoughts. So taking us back into last week's message, since we've died with Christ and we've been raised with Christ, live differently. Live differently to the world. Live for Jesus. Live, in fact, like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Since we've died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. We're very aware of our sins and the propensity to fall back into sin, and so we put them to death whenever we're tempted. We treat one another differently. We live with love and respect. We no longer allow anger and rage, malice, slander, filthy language to reap havoc in our relationships. I trust that that's the case. Our words and our actions are no longer controlled by our old nature. We live differently in the name. We actually live in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so last week we dealt with the negative side of being in Christ, negative in the sense of it's the ugly side of what we need to deal with, what we need to put off, what we need to get rid of. And today we look at the positive side of being in Christ, the freedom to pursue the good fruit. Freedom to pursue good fruit. And we take off the old self, we put on the new self. We stop looking in the rearview mirror at all the ugly side and we move forward into what can be. And so we pick up our reading from the last verse of last week's passage, verse 11. And so there's a double up with verse 11. Paul has reminded the folk in the church at Colossae that as they are in Christ, they've died to their old way and they've been called to live in the new way, in the image of God. And part of the image of God is that within him there's no sense of racism or discrimination. Verse 11, he says here, and the here to which he refers is being in the image of the Creator, back in verse 10. Created in the image of our Creator. Here, in the image of the Creator, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In Genesis 1:27, we read that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So mankind, male and female, were created in God's image. And that might include a whole number of facets, but here in Colossians, we see that as a new creation, in the image of God, we've put off the old life, the old self, and we've put on the new. We've died to the old life, we've been raised to the new, and we are being transformed into the image of God. We live like Christ. And I can't even begin to imagine how wonderful a relationship must have been for Adam and Eve before sin entered the world. I've tried. I can't imagine what it must have been like, really. No sense of mistrust or manipulation. No sense of being taken for granted. Both doing everything that they can for the other's well-being. Such harmony in their relationship. Such love, joy, created in the image of God, displaying and producing God's character to one another. Must have been incredible. Back to verse 11. And at first, Paul says, there ought to be no racism or discrimination amongst you. Let nothing come between you. Some of you are Jews, descendants of those who settled in the region some 600 years earlier under the commencement of the Persian Empire. That was following your exile into Babylon. Many of you are Gentiles and Roman citizens, previously following a multitude of gods. Let nothing come between you. There's to be no racism. There's to be no discrimination. For Christ is in all who believe. He's in every person who believes. So how do we take off the old self and put on the new? How do we begin to look like the image of our Creator? How do we remove racism and discrimination from our nature? As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we put to death what belongs to the earthly nature, and then we clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, in the image of the Creator. We put off what is sinful, hurtful, self-seeking, and we put on the fruit of the Spirit. If we truly have compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, racism and discrimination shouldn't raise its ugly head. Verse 12 to 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Love one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Be compassionate, gentle, humble, patient, kind. If you read all of chapter 3, I hope you notice the progression. Set your minds on things above, put to death the earthly nature, and now put on the new self in the image of your Creator. Begin to look like Jesus. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, being conformed into the image of Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The new self is being renewed into the image of our Creator, into Jesus. In fact, in Romans 13:14, Paul puts it this way: clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is compassionate, he is kind, he is humble, gentle, patient, he forgives us. He bears with us. He loves us. Paul puts it this way in Galatians: so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh, the old way, the old self, the old nature. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the image of Jesus. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the image of our Creator. And you've heard the statement, you've probably made the statement, like father, like son. We've all known people who have turned out to be just like one of their parents. But when we think of God, we see it so clearly, like father, like son. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you and I are being transformed into the image of our Creator. Isn't that an incredible thought? We're being transformed into the image of God. Now, it might not be obvious, but it needs to be stated. Putting on the new self, putting on the fruit of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, love, all of those fruit, none of that can happen outside of your relationships. God develops these fruit within us through our relationships, the relationships that we have with one another. You cannot develop kindness sitting in the back room on your own. You cannot develop kindness without actually being kind to someone. You cannot develop gentleness, and in the Greek, having the power, your power under control, you cannot develop gentleness unless you're gentle to someone. You cannot develop love without loving someone. You can't develop it sitting in your bedroom. All of the fruit are developed within your relationships. And there are people who have grieved you. There are people who have hurt you. There are people who have let you down. There are people that you struggle to be at peace with. There are people that you need to bear with. There are people that you need to forgive. Because Christ is all and is in all. Christ is in your Christian brother or sister who you struggle with. So we need to bear with one another. Who do you need to be patient with at the moment? Who do you need to be gentle with, having your power under control? Who do you need to be kind toward, who you really haven't got the time for at the moment? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to bear with? And so rather than avoid one another, allow your gathering together to be the means for developing godly fruit, for God to continue the process of making you into his image. And Paul's not naive enough to think that now that they're all Christians, they all get along beautifully together. There's no friction, there's no hurts caused toward one another. He knows the ploys of the evil one. He knows full well the human nature and our propensity to sin, our nature to hurt one another. And that's why he calls them, and he calls us, to put off the old nature, to get rid of the selfish and hurtful things that we do. And he calls for the new nature to be put on as we relate to one another. We have fruit to nurture, fruit to develop, and ways to reveal that Christ is actually in us as we relate with one another. And so he says, verse 15 to 16, as you struggle to relate with one another at times, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace, called to be peacemakers, peaceable, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Be at peace, be thankful. Teach and admonish one another. Praise God in song. All of which can be summed up with that overarching verse, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of Jesus, do it all in the name of Jesus, means that we are his representatives. In other words, people around us ought to see Jesus through us and in us. People around us should see compassion and gentleness, humility, love, patience, forgiveness, kindness. But in the name of Jesus also means that we are to maintain Jesus' reputation. You and I are responsible to maintain Christ's reputation. If whatever we do and say is in line with his character and by the fruit of the Spirit, then we shouldn't bring any harm to his reputation. But that just seems huge to me. How can I possibly be like Christ, be his true representative, without bringing him dishonour in some way? Thankfully, God doesn't require perfection from us. But he is transforming us over time. And thankfully, God uses us in spite of us. But the greatest place to start and the greatest place to remain, Paul says, is give thanks. Nathan mentioned before about not complaining. Christians shouldn't complain. Give thanks. I don't know how many of you, in a sense, were impressed by Kate's prayer. But did you notice that at least the first half was, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. We need to start and remain in thankfulness. Twice in this passage, today's reading, and five times in this very short letter, Paul calls for thankfulness. Give thanks, joyful thanks, be thankful with overflowing thankfulness. His emphasis is on being thankful regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. Regardless of the outlook, give thanks. Last week I asked you a question to consider your previous week and ask yourself that question. How much time have I spent in this last week? How much thought energy on earthly things or on things above? Could ask you to think back over this previous week and ask yourself the question, how thankful have I been this last week? regardless of my circumstances or my wishes and desires or the pressures that I find myself under, how thankful have I been in this last week? From Colossians, Paul asks us or calls us to be giving joyful thanks to the Father, overflowing with thankfulness. Be thankful, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Do we naturally gravitate toward complaints and dissatisfaction? Or can we naturally gravitate to being thankful? Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And if you notice in Paul's writings, he's in prison most of the time when he's writing, but he doesn't ask, pray that I'll get out of this hole. He says, I give thanks. I give thanks. I want you to give thanks. He's in prison, but he gives thanks. How thankful are we for our salvation? How thankful for our forgiveness? Our being formed into the image of our Creator? How thankful are we that we have relationships that rub us the wrong way and that are really difficult for us to handle, but God is in the process of creating his character within us? How thankful are we that we no longer live as we once did? How thankful for all the ways that God works within us and through his word to make us more like Jesus. So let's glance into the rearview mirror to see how far God's brought us. Not how far we've come, but how far God has brought us. And then remain focused on things above, thankful for the progress of moving forward as we seek to do all things as unto the Lord. He is with us. Let's never forget that. He is transforming us through the difficulties that we have in our relationships. Let us be ever aware of his presence and overflowing in thankfulness. Can we make being thankful our mantra, our natural disposition, our first inclination? It'd be a good place to start.